You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Two iwi who settled treaty breaches with the Crown in the 1990s have received a combined $370 million in further payment due to clauses in their agreements. Waikato Tainui and Naitahu were paid the money in December last year due to relativity clauses that meant they get a proportion of future settlements over the $1 billion fiscal envelope set in the 1990s. I spoke with Treaty Negotiations Minister Andrew Little about the payments. These further payments of $190 million to Waikato Tainui and $180 million to Naitahu are due to relativity clauses in their settlements made in the 90s. How do these clauses work?
What they said was, I guess to go back a step, you have to see these clauses in the context of the public debate that was happening at the time. The government of the day said they wanted to limit the total value of treaty settlements to $1 billion, what they then referred to as the fiscal envelope. I think a lot of people at the time were sceptical that the government could keep it to that sort of cap because they had, you know, at that stage over 100 iwi to negotiate with and had to negotiate with them in good faith. And it is not negotiating in good faith to put an arbitrary limit on the total value of all the settlements you're dealing with. In a sense, the way I characterise it is, you know, Tahu and Waikato Tainui basically called the government's bluff and said, okay, well, if you are going to limit it to just $1 billion across all settlements, our settlement is this much, and we want that proportion, or our proportion total treaty settlements, to remain the same regardless, so that if you do go over the $1 billion cap, the proportion of our settlement as a proportion of the total value of settlements remains the same, and that's therefore what has happened.
And I believe we've reached $2 billion now?
$2.2 billion. Value of settlement.
So
that's just the financial side of it. I mean, there's land that is returned and there's non-monetary compensatory things as well.
So is there a possibility of future payments or is this it?
Oh, no, there will be future payments because we still haven't completed all the treaty settlements that are still lined up to go. And, of course, we have one very large one left to go, which is Ngāpuhi.
And, I mean, why is it so important that iwi get this money? How will it help?
Well, I mean, they get it because that's what they negotiated. But you see what they do with it, and both Naitahu and Waikato Tainui have been very successful in the investments that they've made, not just financial investments making a return, but housing for their people, health services for their people, research and policy, you might say, for their people that's going to help advance the members of those iwi. So it is building the Māori economy. I think what's important from the Crown's point of view long term is that when the Crown is discharging its responsibility that it has to every citizen regardless, which is their economic and physical security, the Crown actually struggles in many instances to be effective, and certainly in a lot of welfare sort of programs. So the opportunity to sit down with well-resourced iwi now and say, okay, we have these intractable social problems that might be employment, that might be health issues and addiction issues and so on. How can we work together, knowing that we as the Crown bear a lot of responsibility, but you as iwi have a lot of contacts, connections, structures, frameworks within which you operate, the least of which is a connection with your people. How can we work together to fix some of these intractable problems? That's the real value of getting the claims settlement process done and getting us focused on the future.
Do you disagree with those who criticise this as too much money? I mean, especially considering it's only a tiny fraction of the value of the land taken under treaty breaches before taken into less tangible loss, such as culture and language.
Yeah, if you have a look at the claims, and one of the ways or the aspects of every claim that is settled is a record is made of the harm done from colonisation and the actions of our forebears as Pākehā, the European settlers. And look, it is absolutely tragic. You read some of the stories, and it isn't. Look, the removal of land is one thing, and that is wrenching enough. But when you look at the suppression of language, the breach of human rights, Māori sent all over the country to deliberately separate them from their rohe from their people. At one point, actually, no amount of money is going to compensate that sort of stuff. So these are settlements of claims that really are more symbolic than anything. And it is about trying to, or at least starting the process of restoring Māori to an economic and social position that they were in and would have continued to be in had the breaches of the treaty not happened. So it might look like lots of money now. Ask people in 50, 100 years' time, then, you know, people will take a different perspective. This is just the whole process of coming to terms with an ugly side of our history that for far too long we wanted to overlook and forget. We are now coming to terms with it, but this is the price we pay.
When they were drafting the clauses in the 90s, do you think these were simply just to entice iwi to settle? Did they kind of realise how much they would be paying?
I think if you think that the right for iwi to claim for treaty breaches going back to 1840 only arose in the mid-1980s. It was the fourth Labor government that changed the Waitangi Tribunal Act to allow claims going right back to 1840. From 1975, the claims could only go back to 1975. So that was the big deal. But actually it was taking both the Crown and iwi really a lot to get their heads around what is the level of research required, what this entails, and then getting negotiations underway. In many respects, the settlements done by Waikato Tainui and Ngāi Tahu kind of broke the ice and it got these big signature settlements in place and gave the confidence for other iwi to follow. But part of that giving confidence for those two iwi to settle is they did want some reassurance that, gee, if you really are going to limit your total treaty claims compensation to $1 billion, we want to know that the real value of our settlement in proportionate terms is maintained. And that's what it was about. Now, I think if you ask people like Doug Graham, now Sir Doug Graham, and Jim Bolger, who for whom I have immense admiration for the leadership they provided, they would probably say, hand on heart, they really thought that the total value of treaty settlements would go beyond $1 billion, but there was a political device needed to get iwi across the line and actually to kind of settle down some of the more retrograde, regressive views of some Pākehā.
Will this have any effects on current treaty settlement negotiations? I mean, are there any other settlements that have these relativity clauses?
There's no other settlements that have the relativity clauses. They are confined to those two iwi. I mean, other iwi have tried to claim them and the Crown has said no. No, it won't affect negotiations either in train at the moment or yet to be started, because the Crown recognises its obligation to negotiate in good faith. It cannot saddle itself with arbitrary limitations and constraints. It will deal with each claim, set of claims as they're put on the table and try to be as fair and reasonable as possible in each of those circumstances. And that explains why the so-called fiscal envelope talked about in the mid-1990s has long been surpassed, because actually the Crown has treated iwi in good faith.
And just finally, payment was made in December. How come you've only announced it now?
So the agreement was reached with iwi that the payment would be made. It was made in December. It was about the 15th or something of December. I got the fact of payment was confirmed to me the following week. It was literally days before Christmas. I had said that there does need to be an announcement about this. We had to liaise with those two iwi because they had their internal communication processes to square away. It got to the point where I made the judgment call that, look, we're in the dying days of the year before Christmas. Nobody's really paying attention. I don't want to be accused of burying this significant expenditure announcement in the days before Christmas. We'll leave it to the new year. We had an approach last week from a journalist who didn't have a lot of information, but my office and the Office of Treaty Settlements provided that journalist with everything that he requested. He didn't have to ask for it under the Official Information Act. He got everything that he needed and wanted, and I was quite comfortable with the fact that we left it with that journalist to do the story. It's got ample coverage. It was the right thing to do.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.